message time. Now, I got to listen to Rabbi Jude's message last week, in which he talked about the woman's menstrual flow, and I'm not going to talk about that this time. But I am going to talk about a woman's flow, but not her regular cycle, because this Torah portion sets apart the regular cycle and flow as opposed to one that continues unnaturally for a while. So let's jump right into Scripture and go to Leviticus 15:25. Now let's read a little bit from 25 to 27. Now, if a woman has a discharge of her blood for many days, not during her Nida, and you remember Rabbi explained Nida last week was the regular menstrual cycle, not during her Nida, or if she has a discharge beyond the time of her regular Nida, all the days of the discharge of her uncleanliness shall be as in the days of her Nida. She is unclean. Every bed where she lies, all the days of her discharge will be like her bed during her Nida. And everything she sits on will become unclean, like the uncleanliness of her Nida. Whoever touches these things will become unclean, and is to wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and will be unclean until the evening. So, we have this woman with an extended period of time of flow, don't know how else to put that, a blood flow, who's unclean. She's unclean. Everything she sits on is unclean. Everything she touches becomes unclean. Everyone she touches becomes unclean. You can imagine how separated this woman becomes when she has this issue. Now, this is not the same as something that someone would do to become unclean, such as touching a body, a dead body, or something like that, because this is something she doesn't have control over specifically. Some say it's a spiritual uncleanliness, perhaps because of something she's done. We don't know exactly. But it's more a spiritual uncleanliness. And some don't even like the word uncleanliness, impurity. It doesn't take away from it. She still can't enter into the sanctuary. She still can't have anyone touch her, but it's different. So this physical cleanliness is a direct correlation to a spiritual cleanliness we're seeing because of everything that goes on. The woman with the flow of blood was unclean, but not sinful. She didn't sin for this to happen to her. So we're seeing this more as a spiritual issue than a physical issue. She didn't touch something that made her unclean. She didn't do something that she could have avoided. Maybe it was an attitude that caused it. Maybe it was a spiritual impurity within her that she had to get rid of. But either way, it separates from not only other people, but also a relationship with God. So we need to get over that. Now, it sounds like, you know, it doesn't happen that often, and it doesn't. But we do have an example of it in the Brit Hadashah. So if we go to Mark 5, we see the example right there of a woman with an extended flow. So let's go to Mark 5:25 through 29. And it says, and there was a woman with a blood flow for 12 years who had suffered much under many doctors. She had spent all that she had without benefit. Instead, she grew worse. When she heard about Yeshua, she came through the crowd from behind and touched his garment. For she kept saying, if I touch even his clothes, I shall be healed. Right away, the blood flow stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed from the disease. So we learn a couple of things about this woman. 12 years, she had an issue of blood. 12 years, she was separated from the majority of people that she couldn't get to. 12 years, she had on her conscience everything she touched became unclean. 12 years, she went to doctors who couldn't help her. She spent all her money trying to get rid of this, and she couldn't. So she hears about this great man, this great rabbi, who even if she touches the hem of his garment is going to heal her. And could you imagine how she felt as a crowd of people around? She sneaks up from behind just to touch the hem of his garment. She's ashamed. She's scared. She doesn't know what would happen when she touches the garment. She knew that everything she touched became unclean. Could you imagine in her mind what she's going through? If only I touch the hem, but wait, everything I touch becomes unclean. What if I touch the master and he becomes unclean? What have I done? What have I done? But we know that touching the master does not defile him. It cleanses us. We can have the assurance that going to Yeshua, the master, cleanses us and doesn't defile him. Because the dark cannot shine into the light, right? You have a flashlight, you have some, and you go into a dark room, it's light shining into darkness, separating the darkness, so now there's light. Have you ever seen where someone goes into a dark room, turns something on, and this beam of darkness goes out? It doesn't happen. Darkness cannot overtake light. And it's the same spiritually. The light of Messiah will always win over the darkness of the world. Yeshua couldn't be made unclean because that would mean he'd be changed. Right? When something happens to us, when we become unclean, it's because something's happened to us. We've changed. We're no longer that same person in the same physical condition or spiritual condition. We've changed. But Messiah doesn't change, ever. Malachi, we go into our Torah portion, our Haftorah portion today. It's great the way these work together this week. I mean, there's always a connection, but there's a great connection this week. So you look at Malachi 3:6. And it tells us about Messiah, about God and Messiah. And Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am Adonai, I do not change. So you, children of Jacob, are not consumed." Wow. What a verse right there. I don't change, so you're not consumed. Think about that. If we had a God that changed, how hard it would be for us to approach. Because you don't know what kind of mood he's in. You don't know what he's going to want that day because he's changing all the time. But that's not our God. Our God is a rock. Our God is solid. Our God does not change. He puts his word in Scripture, and that's it. That's his word. That's what he means. He says what he means, and he means what he says. His word does not change. Our God does not change. You know what to expect from him every time you approach him. What a comfort! What a comfort! There's no reason to be scared, like this woman was nervous about approaching the one who could help her. She was nervous. We don't need to have that nervousness. We know we can approach our Messiah with boldness. First of all, because he doesn't change, so we know what to expect. And second of all, because we've accepted his blood and been cleansed by it, so we can approach him with issues we have. He does not get defiled by the touch of our sin because he cleanses it first. But that's not the way it always is with everything else, right? We read in Leviticus, we go through all the laws, we just a couple of Torah portions back. It says, you know, there are examples of, well, if something's unclean and it touches a clay vessel, break the vessel, it's unclean. Messiah is not that way. He's the one who cleanses. He doesn't take on our uncleanliness. The woman wanted to touch the hem of his garment. You know, how many times have I said that now? I realize how many times have I said the woman wants to touch the hem of how important that was for her. How it's going to change her life. And it's the same with us. Touching the hem of his garment, reading his word, getting close to him. How does that change our life? Wow. But she wanted to touch the hem of the garment. How did she know to touch the hem of his garment? She didn't just hear it. She knew the Haftorah for today. She knew the Haftorah for today. Going back to Malachi 4:2, or if you have Hebrew scriptures, 3:20. And it says, "But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. Then you will go forth and skip about like calves from a stall." Healing in its wings. This was considered the wings of his garment. It would be the end of his garment, the end of his tallit. So she knew that there was healing in his wings. Just by touching the master, she would be healed. But it has that other little funny phrase in it. "For you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings." Who's this? What is this Son of Righteousness? Well, we get that, we can see in Luke. Remember with John the Immerser, when he was conceived, the angel came to the parents and told them this was going to be a special child. And Zechariah, the father, I think he had his doubts there for a moment. And the Lord said, "Okay, you'll be mute until he's born. That's the sign for you." Okay, not the sign I would have asked for. And it says that after John the Immerser was born, what name, they asked the father, what name should we ask? And he goes into this whole kind of, boom, his mouth is open, his tongue is loosed, he goes into this whole prophecy. And in Luke 1:78 and 79, it says, though our God's heart of mercy, the sunrise from on high will come upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet in the way of shalom. We know that sunrise is Yeshua. We know that our God sent from on high his Son, Messiah Yeshua, to show us his way, to help us walk out his way. And then praise God, after Messiah left us hanging as he hung on the execution stake, and afterwards he sent back the Ruach HaKodesh to help us. God's never left us. But I digress a little. I couldn't help it. This woman needed to be cleansed, as do we all the time. And Rav Shaul, Paul, writes in 2 Corinthians instructions for us. And they sound, when we read them, they sound a little, I don't know if I could do this. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, since we have these promises, loved ones, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of body and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What a big instruction. Cleanse ourselves. How do I cleanse myself? That's a great question. Can we actually cleanse ourselves? Well, in Mark 7, Yeshua tells us what to do and how to cleanse. See, we can't actually cleanse ourselves, but we can take steps so that the blood of Messiah can cleanse us. Mark 7:20 through 23 says, and he continued, he being Yeshua, words of Messiah. And he continued, it is what comes out of a man that makes the man unholy. For from within, out of the heart of men, come evil intentions, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustfulness, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these things, all these evil things, come from within and make the man unholy. Yeshua tells us it's not the food that goes into us that makes us holy. Now, he was not negating the kashrut laws. He was not negating the laws about food and what's clean and unclean for us to eat. Some people will point to that, but that's not what he was saying. What he was saying is, it's not what we do, it's what our heart does. It's not our hands that'll make us spiritually unclean, it's what comes out of our hearts, what comes out of our minds. It's the hands that'll make it. It's the ideas that'll make us spiritually unclean. Yeshua knew that the Jewish population knew Torah. They knew the food laws. He didn't need to teach them the food laws. He was teaching them a new concept, a greater concept of what makes them spiritually unclean. They knew what would make them physically unclean. Now they needed to learn what made them spiritually unclean. And Matthew was told that Yeshua considers to be more important for us. Matthew 23, Yeshua gives instructions. In fact, rather forcefully. If Matthew 23:25, woe to you, Torah scholars and Pharisees. These are the people who should know. These are the people who study. Woe to you, Torah scholars and Pharisees, hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and uncontrolled desires. O blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish so that the outside may become clean as well. We are that cup, right? We're that cup. We have an outside, we have an inside. The Pharisees were very concerned about the doing, what it appeared. They'd polish up the outside of the cup, but the inside was still filthy. How could a cup be clean if it's only on the outside that's cleaned? He's not only telling them, clean the inside, he's telling them, clean the inside first. Then the outside will follow. And doesn't that make sense? I mean, it seems to make sense to me that if my attitudes are right, then I will follow to take the steps to make sure that the things I do are going to be right. You can see people look like they're doing the right things, but they could be a cup where the inside is filthy. Not where we want to be. Not what we want to be. We need to be that cup, the cleansed inside first and then outside. God's desire is not just to cleanse us from that which makes us unclean in the physical. Ezekiel tells us that by his water we'll be cleaned, and the things we think, such as unacceptable idols, his water, his spirit will cleanse us if we accept his word and we get rid of those idols. Ezekiel 36:25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean from your uncleanliness and from all your idols. From your uncleanliness and all your idols. Remember earlier in my prayer, I said about little g gods? And they're not always bad things. But they're things we put above God. They're idols, things we've elevated to idols. Maybe you love your car. Maybe you love your house. Maybe it's a collection that you have. Oh, I have this great stamp collection. I can never do that. But everybody, look out into the world. They elevate things above God. They go out and they just want to party. I'm not saying partying is bad, but that's all that's on their mind. That's all they care about. That's not where God wants us to be. He'll cleanse us by his spirit, his water. He cleanses us from our uncleanliness and our idols. They're joined together there. Uncleanliness and idols. Same thing. Uncleanliness, idols. John 15, Yeshua is speaking to the disciples about being cleansed and what they need to do to be cleansed. Maybe you remember this one. John 15:3. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. It's the word that cleanses. It's the spirit. It's the Ruach HaKodesh that cleanses. It's once we have that word within us, it will change attitudes. You just can't maintain that worldly attitude if you're walking as Messiah walks. Back to Malachi 3, And this is often used as a jumping off point for a message for tithing. But I'm going to use it in a different way. Malachi 3:7 says, "From the days of your ancestors you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you," says Adonai Tzevaot. "Yet you say, how should we return?" That's a great question. Today, how do we return? Do we wait until we're worthy? Do we wait until we cleanse ourselves? No, obviously that's not the answer. Because we'll never be worthy on our own. We can never cleanse ourselves enough to approach Messiah. But he does cleanse us. For we are all sinners, myself included. I bat away attitudes and thoughts all day. All day. I'm sorry if that knocks me down a peg, but that's me. I have attitudes and thoughts all day that I bat away. I take control of my thoughts and attitudes and put them aside because the world keeps pushing in. We need to approach Messiah without doubt that he will cleanse. Because we all need it whether we know it or not. 1 John 1:8 and 9. Very clear. It's one we have to remember ourselves. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and purify us from all righteousness. He was speaking to believers already. He was not talking to the world. So he's saying to those in the room here and those watching who believe, if you think you don't have sin, you're deceiving yourself. But the good news is, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and righteous to forgive our sin. And to purify us from all unrighteousness. I like that word, purify. It's more than just cleanse. It's more than just taking a rag and wiping off the dirt. It's making us spotless so that we may come before the King. It's when we're spiritually cleansed that we'll be able to approach God with boldness. Not like the woman behind going, "I just touch." But now you have boldness. Now you know. That's what we need, is that spiritual boldness, that spiritual cleansing, so we can have that spiritual boldness. Last verse for today, Hebrews 9:14. "How much more will the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" It's the blood of Messiah cleansing our conscience. It doesn't say it cleanses our hands. It cleanses our conscience. Because once our conscience is cleansed, we'll be able to keep our hands from doing things we shouldn't be doing. It's from cleansing our morality. It's from cleansing our thoughts that we'll be able to stop the dead works and serve the living God. It's by the blood of Messiah that we're cleansed both inside and out. From the filth of our acts and the filth of our thoughts. That's the teaching today. Inside and out. The woman with the issue of blood knew she needed to be cleansed. Inside and out. She just needed to touch the hem of his garment, the hem of Messiah's garment. She needed this great rabbi at the time, this great man, the man who is going to hang on the executioner's stake for us. She needed to touch him. She needed to get to know him. She needed to draw close in order to be cleansed both inside and out. And so do we. Amen? Let's pray.